Thank you so much for joining us today. You're listening to Corrington Cast, the official podcast of Corrington Church.
What is a blessing, and why would God bless you? What are we to do with our blessings? You're listening to the second half of Dr. Rocky Ramsey's message on how we are blessed to bless others. Today, we'll finish this message by looking at what happens to us when we decide to be generous and giving to others.
And then verse 40, the king will answer and say to them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it for one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them," I want to say especially the least of them, "you did it to me." Welcome to heaven. Let me tell you how you got here. And so he tells them what they had done with what he had given to them. They didn't realize they were doing it. When do we do this for you? How do you love a God you can't see? You love people that you do see that he loves and died for. And every time you do that, you love him. You want to love me? Love my wife or kids or grandkids. I feel loved like crazy. You want to love God? Love people he loves and Christ died for, and God will feel love from you. But you can't love him. You can't hug him. You can't do for him directly. We do for others. And when we do for others, Jesus said, when you do for others, even people you don't think matter, you've done it to me. Here we see that one definite thing about people who made it to heaven was that they blessed others with their blessings. They did something for others. They sacrificed something for others. Food, drink, clothes, time. They gave their time to and for others. We have been blessed to bless others. Now, I want you to keep your finger there, and I want you to turn to 1 Timothy 6. Because I want to be true to Scripture, so I need to kind of balance this a little bit. I need you to understand what I'm about to tell you. You can hear what I'm saying, and then all of a sudden you feel bad or guilty for being blessed. You know, well, gosh, I've been so blessed, I feel bad now. God doesn't want you to feel bad when you get blessed. He wants you to feel blessed when you bless. But he wants you to do something with your blessings. So 1 Timothy chapter 6, read verses 17 to 19. And there Paul says, "Instruct those who are rich in the present world, the blessed, not to be conceited." Why not? Because God is the source. He's the reason they have all that. If he hadn't enabled them to have that, they wouldn't have that. So don't be conceited. "Or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God," watch this, "who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy." You see it? He blesses you with those things to enjoy. So if you can drive a really, really nice car, it's not a sin to do that. If you can afford two, you could give me one. And I could drive a really, really nice car. You understand? It's not a sin to be blessed. So many of the characters in the Bible really were. Job was the richest man in the world. So was Solomon. Abraham was fabulously rich. Most of them were. There's nothing wrong with money, having money. There's just something wrong whenever any money has you. And how do you know it has you? When you won't give it. When you sit on it. When you become selfish with it. And then it becomes your enemy, at least spiritually. So, but I just want you to know, if God blesses you, be blessed. Have a nice house, drive a nice car, but don't stop there. He goes, he says, so he wants us to enjoy our blessings. But then he goes on, "Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share." Why? Why be rich in good works? Because it is when you do it, you're storing up for yourselves treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. Giving lays up treasure in heaven, where we will reap for eternity what we sowed in time. I won't tell you that again. We reap for eternity what we've sown in time. Giving is how we take hold of that which is life indeed. If you're not a generous giving person, you're not taking hold of that. You're missing out on this life God made you for. The good life, how would you describe it? See, in our world, most people, the good life is having all this stuff. be able to do all these things because we got money. That's the good life. Jesus would say, that's not the good life. The good life is being able to give and bless others. That's the good life. Take hold of that which is life indeed. Now here's number four. We get blessed when we bless others. We get blessed when we bless others. God originally wired us up to be givers. We're created in His image. For God so loved the world that He did what? He gave. That's who He is. It's His nature. It was our nature until Adam and Eve sinned. And then all of a sudden, it went backwards on us. And now we became self-serving and selfish. In Acts 20, verse 35, Paul quotes a statement by Jesus that's not recorded in the Gospels. In Acts 20, 35, and he says that Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than receive. Try to convince a little kid of this. I wouldn't advise it, but any adult ought to get this. Doesn't it feel good to make others feel good? If you don't know the answer to that question, you ought to try it. It feels great. To do something for somebody, bring them joy, bring them peace, bring them relief. That's a wonderful thing to do something. And when we do something to make somebody else feel good, guess what? We feel great. Why? Because we're wired up that way. We're wired up to be givers. And when we give, we feel more blessed than when we get. One of the best examples is our Christmas party. We give all this stuff to these disadvantaged strangers. They get gifts, necessities, food, etc. But who gets the greater blessing? We do. We're the ones that give all the stuff, and we end up blessed more than them, even though they live with a heaping pickup truck full of stuff. A lot of what Jesus teaches us is counterintuitive. We give up our lives to get life, His life. We die to ourselves to enjoy the best life we can have, to really live. We become great by serving. We are blessed more by giving than receiving. Look at what Jesus said in Luke 38. Give and it'll be given to you. Natural intuition says that the way to have more is to obtain and hold on to it. God tells the way to have more later is by having less now, by giving. We give, and when we give, we get. We just learned the first message I did in this calendar year, in January, first Sunday, part of what I talked about was how we reap what we sow. We reap later than we sow. So reward and satisfaction are delayed, but we reap more than we sow. Look at 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. He who sows sparingly a little will also reap sparingly a little. And he who sows bountifully a lot will also reap bountifully a lot. For God loves a cheerful giver. Now, God loves everybody, but there must be something special about a cheerful giver. The Greek word is hilarious, from which we get our word Hillary. No, I'm kidding. All right. This verse tells us that we reap according to how we sow. The more we sow, the more we reap. We influence what we get in life by what we give. Luke 6:38 goes on to say, for by your standard of measure, it'll be measured to you in return. Now listen closely. The reason that people don't give as they ought to give is that they think that keeping rather than giving is a better deal for them than what God has told them to do, which is give. There's only one reason you wouldn't give. That's because you don't believe. You don't believe the Bible. Because you couldn't believe the Bible and not give. There's too many blessings that come with it. God's told you to do it. You want Him on your side, don't you? You want His favor. So you give. But there's only one reason you wouldn't give. If I give, I'll be the loser and God will be the winner. You obviously don't know God, do you? Are you a parent? As a parent, would you ever win at your child's expense? If you would, you're a lousy one. You would never do that. Do you think we're better parents than God? Huh. Every time you play with God, He's going to make sure you win. That's who he is. If you don't believe that, I'd chuck all this Christianity stuff and go get a beer. God never asks you to give what you don't have. We tithe and give on what we earn. People don't fail to give because they don't have. If you don't make anything, you don't have to give. They fail to give because they don't believe what the Bible says about giving. If I can't trust God with now, am I not playing a mental game with myself to think I can trust him for forever? So what I suggest you do is you find out if you can trust him now. Message a couple weeks ago, I talked about one of the best decisions I ever made was back when I was like 18 years old. I decided I would follow the Lord fully. And the moment I found out he was not who the Bible claimed he was, or did the Bible was not true, I'd throw all this away. Well, all these years later, what's it been? Almost 40 now. I've not found that to be true. I'm more and more convinced that God is exactly who the Bible says he is, and he does everything the Bible actually says he'll do. I'm so committed to it, I'd die for it. But you ought to find out. Don't be deacon around. Well, I deacon around and try to believe something you don't really believe. But you jump in and find out if it's real or not. Another example of getting blessed is when we bless others, when we serve less advantaged people on mission trips. We sacrifice money, time, energy to serve them, and then we end up feeling more blessed than the people we went to bless. Everybody's been on a mission trip, we go, that's exactly how that works. Isn't that crazy? We're the givers, and we end up being the real getters. Before moving on, let me state what should be the obvious, but probably isn't. When you're doing the giving, you've already been blessed, right? When you're doing the giving, you've already been blessed. You would have nothing to give if you weren't blessed. Before you even give or go to one of our Christmas parties, before you go on a mission trip, you're already the blessed person. Because if you weren't, you couldn't do either one of those things. You're the blessed person. So you're the one who is able to give rather than being the one who is needing the help. So we're already blessed, which enables us to give, and then we go give and we get blessed for giving. We get to double dip. That's pretty cool. Now, under that, several things. Number one, the more blessed you are, the more accountable you are. The more blessed you are, the more accountable you are. So the more God does for you and gives to you, the more God expects from you. I will say that again. The more God does for you and gives to you, the more God expects from you. Jesus leaves no question about this. Look at Luke 12:48. Everyone who has been given much, much will be required. And to whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more. So the more God does for you and gives to you, the more he's going to expect you to do for and give to him and others. More blessing means more accountability. It means a greater judgment. This is true with the money God gives us, with what God teaches us about our spiritual gifts and abilities. Look at James 3:1. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. Too much is given, much is required. The greater your spiritual opportunity, the more accountable God will hold you. What's expected of followers is required of leaders. If you aren't willing to live far above average, don't become a leader, especially not a Christian leader. A Christian is to live more than himself. A leader is to live an excellent life. If you recall, Moses missed the promised land for losing his temper. Now, if you read the context, most of us would have lost it many, many days earlier, right? I mean, it was incredible. And the people were just a pain from the beginning to up to that point. Moses finally loses his temper. He's supposed to speak to a rock. He hits it with his rod. And God says, because of that, you won't enter the promised land. Sounds kind of harsh, doesn't it? But the truth is, to whom much is given, much is required. Moses was living under a different set of rules, a different set of accountability, a different set of judgment. Why? Because he had been given so much. He's one of the most famous men in history. Agreed? If you aren't anything and don't have anything, then God will not judge you by the same standard that he'll judge someone who is somebody and who has something to give. Too much is given, much will be required. The more blessed you are, the more accountable you are. Now, number two, not doing what you should do with what God gives you is a great sin. Not doing what you should do with what God gives you is a great sin. God doesn't just judge us for the things that we do, sins we commit. He judges us for what we don't do that we should have done. The first are called sins of commissions. We commit a sin. We do what we shouldn't do. The second is called sins of omission. I omit. I don't do what I should have done. Now, won't you turn back to Matthew 25. In that chapter, Jesus tells three parables. A parable is a story with a point. All three of them make the point that not doing what you should do is a great sin. In the first, the parable of the 10 virgins, there are 5 foolish virgins who didn't keep oil in their lamps. It cost them heaven. In the second parable of the talents, one of the men who was given something by his master did nothing with what he was given. And look at verse 30 and see what the master says to him. Throw out this worthless slave into the outer darkness, into that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. An obvious reference to hell. Why'd he go to hell? He didn't do anything. That's right. And that was the problem. He didn't do anything. That was the problem. Same thing with the virgins. Now we get back to the third parable, which is the sheep and goat that we already read about. Now let's look at verses 41 to 46. Matthew 25, 41 to 46. Then the king, the judge, will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels." Let me stop here. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord, or you're watching this or hearing this, one of the questions you probably have is, if God is loving, how could he send people to hell? The answer to that is, he doesn't. God is so loving, he sent his son to hell to forgive you so you wouldn't have to go there. And he tells us in verse 41, hell was never meant for people. Heaven was meant for people. Hell was meant for the devil and his angels. But because people sin, because they don't repent, they end up going there too. But God loves you. He punished his son so you would never have to go. He won't send you to hell, but he'll let you go. If you decide to live your life your way, he'll let you have your way, but it comes with consequences. Just like following Jesus comes with good ones, not doing so comes with bad ones. So he's telling these people, they're going to hell. Verse 42, "For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me." And they themselves also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" And then he will answer them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it for one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." Wow. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. What's the point? The point is, it's not just a sin to do what you shouldn't do. It's a sin not to do what you should do. On the basis of Matthew 25, not doing what God wants you to do is a great sin. It's a damning sin. God intends for us to be like him. That means that we become other-centered givers. Our pursuit in life should not be so much to be blessed. It ought to be a blessing. You ought to want God to increase the size of your pipe, not so you can build a bigger house and drive a finer car, but so you can bless more people. When's the last time you left somebody a $100 tip? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I wonder how many of you could raise your hand and say you've ever done it. And don't tell me you couldn't afford it. You could. But you don't do it. I just read a book, and basically we treat servants and servers like, you know, they're just these little machines are supposed to meet our needs. Isn't that what everybody is? I mean, we're the center of the universe, and everybody's supposed to go around making us happy and giving us what we want and meeting our needs. Now, that's a real person whose life probably isn't nearly as good as yours, who isn't making the kind of money you have, maybe a single mom just barely getting by. And you could really do something big for her. Something she'd never forget. But see, we don't think about that because we just think about getting. Be generous. Be generous with your energy, with your time. Be generous with your money. You know, so many of us, you could give away $100. You could give away $1,000. It wouldn't hurt you at all. You could turn somebody's day upside down. But we don't even think about it. Because we just run through life thinking everything, the center of the universe is me, and God and everybody in it is supposed to make me happy, give me what I want. We're pots. You're supposed to be a pipe. Everywhere you go, what can I add here? I'm going out to lunch. What can I add here? Is there any way I can be a blessing to this person's life who's going to wait my table? When I come to church, what can I add to my community group? What can I add to somebody that I'm talking to? I remember years ago, there was somebody going through a real hard time. I didn't even know it. But I'll try to acknowledge everybody as I pass you. I hope I do that with you. If I ever don't, I'm sorry. But I'll try to make eye contact. How you doing? And this was somebody I just walked by, patted her on the back, and never said a word. I went about 10 feet, and she just burst into tears. Her life was really, really hard at the time. And just that changed her for that day, for that moment. It brightened her day. We're to be God-driven, other-centered givers. Not so much looking to be blessed, get blessed, but to be a blessing. Lord, bless me so I can bless. That's a good prayer. Bless me is not a good prayer. It's just selfishness. We shouldn't measure our lives by what we have, but rather by what we give. The one who owns it all is not impressed with what any of us have. It's all his anyway. Rich man died, and somebody said, I wonder how much he left. The answer was, all of it. We're all playing Monopoly. And one day, the money all goes back in the box. When we go in the box, it goes in the box, right? But God is pleased when he sees us being a giver. Not only does God measure you by what you do, other people ultimately measure you by what you do for them. That's why they're the people you love. That's why they're your best friends. They do something for you, maybe emotional, maybe financial, maybe physical, I don't know what it might be, but they're doing something for you. Now, immature kids might want to be your friend because you're popular. But let me tell you, when you're 60 years old, you don't care if anybody's popular. You know who your friends are? They're reciprocal relationships. They're people, you do things for them, and they do things for you. And that's why you love them. That's why you have the relationship you have with them. We're to be pipes, not pots. We're to be conduits through which God's blessings flow, not just reservoirs to whom God's blessings flow. Here's the new doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God that to me they flow. I pray for others here below because they ain't getting none of my dough. That's the new doxology. We belong to him. He's the source of all we have, all we are and have. He blesses us so that we might be his eyes, his heart, his hands, through whom he touches others. God has designed life for us so that we get blessed when we give, we serve, and we bless others. The more God blesses us with, the more God expects us to give. And not doing what we ought to do, not giving what we ought to give, not serving who we ought to serve is a great sin in the eyes of God. Now, one last thing and we're through. You don't get any credit in eternity for what you have and accumulate. None. you know, Elon Musk is worth like $270-something billion. If he goes to heaven, you know how much credit he'll get for having all that? None. He won't get any more credit than the poor beggar, Lazarus, the poor beggar, in Jesus, the story Jesus told. None. Zero. Zip. Nada. According to James 5, 3, and 4, what you have can actually be held against you when you stand before God someday, because you didn't do with it what he wanted you to do with it. All you get credit for in heaven is what you give. So if you want to be rich there, you got to give here. People might think, people that we might think of as first, I mentioned Elon Musk, because of what they have, God may consider them last because of what they didn't give. We think they're first because, look at all they have. Boy, don't they have the good life? Aren't they blessed? And yet the truth is, God may count them last because of what they didn't give. They may have so much because they kept what God never intended them to keep. And people that we might consider last because they don't have a lot may be considered by God as being first because of what they gave. So many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. 2 Corinthians 8, 2 and 3 talks about people who gave out of their deep poverty beyond their ability of their own accord. In other words, they gave what they could afford, and then they gave some more. And God rewards them for it. The greatest among us, as Jesus plainly stated, is the one who serves the most, not the one who has the most.
If you enjoyed today's message, we want to invite you to join us in person at Corrington Church this Sunday. We have community groups and childcare starting at 9 a.m. and one Sunday service at 10:15 a.m. Come see us. Again, thank you so much for joining us today. You're listening to Corrington Cast, the official podcast of Corrington Church. If you have any questions at all, visit us online at CorringtonChurch.com or drop us a message or comment on social media. We're at Corrington Church. We hope you've enjoyed this episode, and we pray God's richest blessings on your life. Give us a rating, hit subscribe, and have a fantastic day.